Accession number 20177, Real 1.
And what is that?
Well, it was part of Swanhag the Wigan Richardson's, which is always Warcraft and War's End.
Yeah.
Well, they have to, apart from building ships or something, they have to have a war effort. So in one of their engine works, they produce 8-inch howitzer shells, 1,000 a week. And I actually went as an inspector, or to train to be an inspector, at the beginning of my 17th year. They didn't know that, nobody knew that.
You were too young. You were officially too young, were you?
Oh, yes, I knew that. And lucky for me that the general manager arranged the interview when he was on the sea trial. So this worker, Schumacher, saw me. And she said, I'd have to come again. And I said, I couldn't possibly come again all the way from East Borden. Many times I traveled from East Borden, climbed up to heaven and across the river, but never mind. And so she said, oh, well, anyway, you've got to learn the gauges, so come in next week. And so I did. The point being that my school friend and myself thought we shouldn't learn German and we would go with the Germans, and we walked out of school and we wouldn't have us back, you see. So my father was a solicitor in Sunderland. That wasn't very popular with the family.
He was what?
He was a solicitor in Sunderland. And he said, well, if you want to go and do that, you go and do it, you see. And I enjoyed every minute of my working life. And after a year, I became head inspector. And I was in the shell shop until 3 months before the armistice.
So you were, that was shell shop. It had only women in it, did it?
All women. All women. Men as foremen. Mm-hmm. But all the women working the machines and inspectors engaging the shells and so on and so forth.
So what did your work involve?
Well, my work involved testing with gauges the shell body, if you'd like to call it that. You know, you put long things in to make sure it was the right size.
Oh, yes.
You tested the noses and all the various other things.
And that these shells were all produced on an assembly line, were they?
They were on, yes. There were various parts of the works that did the noses and so on and so forth. And then they came, you took inspection at various stages, and then they came for what they call my final inspection bench, when they were already completed. Mm-hmm. And then you had to do another test on them.
So, I mean, did you test every single shell?
Oh, yes, you had to test every... Oh, Lord, yes. Yes, you had to test every single shell.
What kind of training did you get for that?
Well, I had a week learning how to use the different gauges that you use. You worked with gauges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was to see how long the shells were and how wide.
Yes.
Did you test the thickness of the case?
Oh, yes, you had to do all that.
And at that point, were you inspecting the shell casing, or did it have explosive in it as well?
Oh no. We only made shell cases.
Right.
So we didn't fill them.
Where were they filled?
Well, they were sent away, but where they went to, I wouldn't know. They would go to some armament factory, of course.
Right. So, were you the only woman inspector?
No, I had eight. I had seven inspectors under me. Mm-hmm. You see, you had inspectors at each section, which they were supposed not to miss anything. And eventually it came a final to me. But I had to keep going around to make, you know, to make sure everything was...
So what were these sections? Were they different sizes of shells?
Well, you see, you had your noses. Somebody was manufacturing the noses. Somebody was manufacturing the shell body. And then you had the copper bands. And then you had people who were doing the jewelry for the copper bands.
And
all the different...
Yeah, and each of those parts was being inspected.
Oh, they had all, yes, to be inspected.
And was the whole thing inspected together?
It was completely inspected by me before it went out.
Right. And that was every single shell had to be inspected. So, well, can I just ask how much money you were getting? What were your wages for this job?
Well, I don't remember how much I got to start with, but I know there was an award given for the over 21. No, I wasn't 21, so that's when I couldn't get my award, but I was so well dug in then.
Yeah.
I don't think it mattered. But as head inspector, I had £3 a week.
Oh, I see. That was your basic wage.
Mm-hmm.
Did you work any kind of overtime?
No. Oh no, you worked three... To begin with, we were on a three shift system. We worked 10, 6 to 2, 2 to 10, 10 to 6.
No.
And I used to walk down from the four corners of East Coast to the station. I got the 4:45 train when I was on 6 o'clock. Because if I got the 4:45 train, I would be leaving the church for 5 minutes late. And I would have been keeping those who were on night duty all the time. I used to go early. And when you think to walk down those roads those days, pitch black.
Mm-hmm. You weren't frightened?
No, not a bit.
What about, I'm just thinking of getting from East Bolden to Wall's End.
Well, from East Bolden, you took the train to Tyndock. And I changed from Tyndock to the Heaven train. And I walked down from Heaven station to the ferry, Heaven ferry, which brought me across the water, which, if you know water at all, you know where the ferry landing is.
Yes.
Well, the offices are there, but the shell shop was right at the other end, near the Neptune Bridge end.
Right. Yeah.
And I had to walk down there, and I had to go down steps. And I've always hated steps with holes in between.
Oh, yes, I know. I have that feeling as well.
You're not like them either.
No.
I can't bear them. They're my horror. And I did that.
Yeah. Used to do
and
that.
Then we went on to a two-shift system, which was better.
What's
it was 6 to 6.
And that was 5 days.
Much better.
That was 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
It was 6 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you were telling me that when you started, you were 17. And the reason that you got involved really in this was the sort of you left school, and it was patriotic, was it, being involved in the war effort? What year was it?
I really wanted to be a nurse, of course, and I could have gone into the VAD, but the silly village doctor said my legs wouldn't stand up to it. They've stood up to a lot since then.
Yes. So what year was that?
1916. I was in my 17th year.
And would that, were there a lot of women, not just in the shell shop, but were there a lot of women working in the shipyard at that time?
Oh yes, yes, yes. It's a big crowd. They did all sorts of jobs on the ship.
Such as?
They did caulking, welding. Same sort of jobs as the men were doing.
They wouldn't be welding then.
They were, so on.
I'm surprised that early. Did they do any jobs like plating?
Like?
Plating. Were they doing, were they platers and shipwrights?
I think they probably did.
So what happened? Why did you leave?
I didn't leave. I was told to wait over on the night shift. Just about 3 months before the armistice. And go up to see the general manager, who was Mr. Varley. And I went. And he said to me, "Do you know anything about books?" And I said, "Well, what kind of books are you talking about?" He said, "Books that you write in." So I said, "Yes." Well, I said, "You tell me what you want me to write, I'll probably tell you something about the books." Well, what had happened was, you see, all these people who were looking after deliveries of material, you see, there were all sorts of things brought outside for the ships. And as these men were being called up, they were handing it from one man to another. And the deliveries got all behind. And the first thing you must have for a ship when it's launched is your main steam pipes.
Right.
And there were no main steam pipes and the ship was launched. And this was the last straw with him. So he was going to have what he called the deliveries department.
Right.
And he was going to put me in charge of it. And he said, "There's no going back to the shell shop. And you still get just £3 a week." And I worked 6 months overtime with a cup of tea and a biscuit to get this thing organized. And I said, first of all, I want a loose leaf book, a big loose leaf book.
Right.
I got them all into alphabetical order, got them all written as to when they were due for delivery and so on.
Yeah.
And it was up to me to see that they came in on those dates. And I have a record of what I left for my successor when I left. But of course I turned up in later years when another manager came. He wanted a progress system.
Yeah.
So we had to work that.
So you started off in this delivery, a deliveries department, say responsible for all the stuff coming out.
It was called the control department, and I was responsible for stores.
Mm-hmm. And did you have anybody working with you?
Oh yes. I used to get boys from the school, and I remember I got so fed up with what they called the bright ones that I asked if they send me the dull one next time. They sent me Top, who is now still at Swans, and he just took to it so easily, and he followed me when I retired in 55.
So that job you started off doing then was a sort of a lifetime job after that?
Mm-hmm. And yes, I was 38 years at Swans working there.
So what? So you started off and you had like young lads working for you, and that was your job, looking after all the stores. So, and you just worked 38 years non-stop? You didn't have any breaks in that?
No, I just went on. I married in 52. And I retired at the end of 54 when I was 55. I came out 5 years earlier.
Now that's very interesting, because I mean the fact, I mean, like, you were a career woman in that way, which must have been very different to the normal experience of women at that time. So, but did you find the work very interesting to do?
Oh, I found every day of my working life interesting. And people were wanting to work then, and they were anxious to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when I had all the general strike and the miseries of 1930, I always did voluntary social service work. which is then we commenced soup kitchens. Lunch and clothes in our old works canteen.
Yeah.
And eventually ran women's social service clubs, get women off the street.
Yeah.
And then we ran running men's clubs, and some of the elder work craftsmen were showing them what they could do and what they couldn't do.
Yeah.
Of their neighborliness and their health in the 30s was much more than it is today.
What?
And I'm still involved in voluntary social service work. I'm with Age Concern all the time, so I've heard people comparing, and it's perfectly true. If anybody was in trouble on Fisher Hill, and there were just two room houses, you know, one down and one up, it would take any other family in. They never quivered at anything. And today you can get elderly people with a family living around the corner and they never go near them.
Yeah. Well, going back to, when you took on that job in the control department, the delivery department, I mean, did you expect it to be a sort of a long-term job, or was it?
Oh. Well, I think I knew that. I guess I expected it to be a long-time job because I'd already made the deliveries department, and I was responsible for everything which was ordered outside that had to come in, and it had to be in, you know, pumps and castings and all this sort of thing, it had to be in by a certain date.
Yeah.
And then when it came that I became a control department and clothing system, I had to plan, I had to know when the things came out of the drawing office.
Right.
And then say, I would soon we needed them, and plan when they had to be ordered for.
Right. Can you just explain for me what you mean by a progress system?
Well, if you could, stop a minute. I'm not sure the progress system worked. When the things came out of the drawing office to go into the buying department for ordering. It was my job to see they were ordered to the date in which they were required for the engine or the boilers. And therefore, we had to give dates to the buying department as to when they put on the orders they sent out. And then when they sent the order out, it had on the bottom when it was due for delivery. And I kept a record of who it was from and so on, like valves or pumps or castings, all sorts of things. And then of course I had to keep a diary in which I had to make sure a week beforehand that something wasn't in, that I did something about getting it in. That was from the delivery side. And then of course you had your repair orders that you had to send away for ships who were sent in bits and pieces for repairs. And that all was done through the stores. And then of course the progress system that the runners did was done by means of ticks. All this delivered and then different departments, the progress right through to the finish.
Yeah. So that that
so that each department knew if he was waiting for his condenser, he knew when he was going to get it.
Right. I see. So each piece of
yes.
you'd have the people, you'd be telling the lads to go out and say to each department.
I think I've done that. I remember Bob Horne saying he would like to see it, but I don't remember ever giving it to him. And when I left, from A to Z, I left everything. Exactly when they had to order the main steam pipes for, and when they had to order this for, and so on and so on.
And,
they always had to wait 3 months before the ship was launched.
Oh, right. Just to make sure things are right there. So, you Was it the foreman that you were always in the yard? Were you dealing with the foreman in the yard all the time?
No, I was dealing... No, I had no barrow or foreman. The stores were my problems. The foreman, as far as the foreman was concerned, all they got was a record of what was happening. They got progress sheets.
Yeah.
But if they were in difficulties at all, and they thought they should have something earlier than they should have, they could come up and make a fuss about it. But they would do it through the manager.
The engine works manager
outside, or the engine works manager in the engine works.
So, I mean, in some way...
Because we were building engines and boilers at that time, you see.
That was during the 1920s and 30s. That was the 1920s and 30s.
No, you're getting up, you know. Well, 3 months ago, August was 1918.
Oh, right.
That's when I started with the Navy's department.
Yeah. So, I mean, that...
And that went right through. It still continued till they stopped building engines and boilers.
Oh, when did they do that?
And ships, well, they haven't had very much since.
The last, it's the last, it's, you're only talking
they
about...
They've just had a launch now.
Yeah. So it's just that yes. That did
well, what they're doing now, I wouldn't know. They may have scrapped all that I did.
Well, I think it'll all be computerised now.
Yes, all will be computerised now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was just thinking, I mean, you started... in Swans in 1916, and it's the 1950s when you retired. So, I mean, you must have seen a lot of ups and downs and changes in shipbuilding and in the yards then.
Well, we used to see launches going off once a fortnight.
When was that? That was during the war. That was during the war, you mean?
Yes. Well, during and after as well. I mean. It was nothing to see launches going off. Somebody said the other day, you would see them going off like once a fortnight, which is true.
That's all over the river, it's from Swans.
And the first ship was 1026. Well into the 1200s when I lived.
Mm-hmm. 200 ships in what? 30 years? Mm. You're talking about 200 ships in about 30 years?
Mm-hmm. I wish I could have found that. Because it was showing me everything.
So, I mean, but in the 1930s, going back to that time, and part of the 1920s anyway, I mean, you mustn't have been very busy because of the slump and the depression.
Well, I had a bad depression. We were just picking up, you know, the Second World War.
Yeah. But there must have been very, very little work all for you to do. I mean, you would have had very little work to do. Mm. Did you ever think that you might lose your job?
I wonder if I
went
to back no more.
Perhaps you could just tell me, you said you worked in social services. What was that? Who was that with?
Okay, that.
Yeah, that's right. So you were part of the Tyneside Council for Social Service?
I was.
Yes,
before,
I've read.
Before there was a Tyneside Council.
Yeah, the Guild of Help.
If you read that properly, you'll see what I'm getting at. Could give me a note. This person, this Lloyd, who was at Newcastle University, was giving no credit to anything that was done before the formation of the Tyneside Council of Social Service.
So you were involved in organising soup kitchens and things for people to come along and get the help, and for elderly and lonely people. Which particular, you worked in Newcastle, and it was the Newcastle Guild of Help.
Yes, yes. I was with Newcastle. Well, I was chairman. I followed Miss Grace Hunter as chairman for women's work, of course. I worked in Newcastle right up to the time until they became the Newcastle Council of Voluntary Service.
Yeah.
And I was then getting that I couldn't get about so easily, although I was getting about to the sick in those days. And I thought, well, then I'll switch over. So I switched over. In the meantime, we had commenced old people's welfare work, as we used to call it in those days, which is now called Age Concern. We commenced that in 1955, when my first husband died in Horace Ford area, which is still running.
Yeah.
And now it's not, and then of course when they divided up the counties, we came out of Northumberland into North Tyneside. So I'm now, for my sins, president of Age Concern North Tyneside.
Do you find though that, I mean, you're in Age Concern now and you're involved in that kind of social services now, is there much difference between now and the 1920s and 30s?
Oh yes, there's a lot of difference now. You see, the Manpower Board, we couldn't do without the help of the Manpower Board
in the
finances. We get a certain amount of help from councils, but you couldn't run things like we do, like at Long Benton, in the Haitian Avenue schools, and some of the school was a luncheon club, or a club run every day for handicapped people, and they're brought into it by, part of ambulances and so on. They're brought in for a cup of tea at 10, and they have a lunch at 12, and they have a bingo session, and they have a concert or something, and then they have a cup of tea, and then they go home about 4.
But what I meant was the difference. I mean, you're talking about like getting help from the MSCs, the Manpower Services Commission. But I meant in the situation that people found themselves in, the poverty of the 1920s.